Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and this interview was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For the latest news and terms and conditions, go to ukwineshow.co.uk. Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and I'm here with Paul Fenner from Waiter's Friend. How are you, Paul?
Greetings to you, Chris. It's nice to see you on this rather gloomy day.
What is Waiter's Friend, Paul?
Waiter's Friend Company, we're a specialist wine accessory company, Chris. And we're the leaders, really, in the field of introducing and developing wine accessories and wine tools for the wine trade. We also supply a lot of the major brands, a lot of the major wine brands and wine distributors with accessories and point-of-sale materials. So we print ice buckets, corkscrews, items like that, which are used as point-of-sale material to develop and stimulate sales.
Okay, and is it just the trade that you sell to?
We sell to the trade, but we also have a consumer division. I think we were probably one of the first people in the wine trade to start an e-commerce site. We've got a site called Wine Gift Center, and there we specialize in inspiring wine gift ideas for the wine lover in your life. So if there's a wine lover in your life and you're a bit stuck for a present for them or a gift, you know, you're going to Uncle Joe's 80th birthday and you know he's a wine buff, then our site is the place to come to, because we'll probably have a tool or a decanter or a gift that would be appropriate.
But you don't do books, do you?
We do a few books, actually. Yeah, we do Hugh Johnson's, Matt Skinner. We do contemporary books as well. Yeah, sure.
Oh, okay, excellent. Just to understand a wee bit about how your business is structured. You know, we're here in your offices in Guildford, and you've got a showroom, a warehouse, and an office all in a unit, so to speak. But you're not off the beat. You're a bit off the beaten track. You're not sort of in downtown Guildford, are you?
No, we're not. No, we're very much on a new, modern, dedicated industrial estate. Although that's not where we started out, Chris. I started out from the fourth bedroom at home, in desperation, I have to say, having lost my job and being 45, and really was at an age where it was going to be quite difficult to get back into the trade.
What were you doing beforehand?
I was running a cocktails and cocktails business. So we were doing cocktails and more spirits related premiums and gifts like that. So my dear wife, with three children and a mortgage, my dear wife said to me, right, well, okay, you've got 3 weeks to come up with to get a job. We'll come up with a business plan. So we came up with a business plan. Mm-hmm. And that, what I did was I went to Italy to the leading producer of good quality bottle openers, a company called Farm, who've been making the best Waiter's Friends since 1945. And I said to them, I'd like to sell their corkscrews in the UK. But they said, it's not possible. We do not have a market. We only sell maybe 100 or 200 in the UK. Is there no market? I said, well, yeah, that's why I want to sell your corkscrews in the UK, because they're very good. And most sommeliers in the 80s were using probably a Chinese-made corkscrew, because it was very budget conscious. And they're not that good. The quality's not there. They don't have the opening ability. And so I really wanted to introduce a professional tool that would complement what the sommelier was doing. And so we took the agency for that, and we are still the largest distributor of corkscrews and bottle openers in the UK.
Excellent. Is it just corkscrews you sell, though?
No, we expanded from that very much.
Straight away, or did you?
We expanded in response to demand. We're very customer-driven. So as customers said to, well, look, great, good corkscrews, but could you get an ice bucket for us? We're very style and design driven. And if you looked at ice bucket design 20 years ago, it was very boring. It was traditional aluminium ice buckets with crown handles. There was no style, there was no flair to it. It didn't really think through that perhaps we might actually want to introduce a wine bottle and, say, a mineral bottle onto the same table. The footprint was all wrong. So we began to work with other small Italian companies. We began to design products which were much more interesting in terms of shape, in terms of appeal, and also which reflected the brand image of the big wine brands. And that was quite important. So, for instance, we saw a couple of years ago, we saw pink products being very popular, blush products, rosés. So we introduced translucent pink as a material for an ice bucket, so it would reflect and enhance the brand.
How much of your products are designed yourselves versus how much do you have you sourced?
Okay, it's about, we design and initiate about a third of our own products, but we're just a small family company, Chris, as you've seen. So for us to set out and spend a large amount on R&D isn't practical. And the way we've got over this is we've worked in partnership with other small distributors in Europe, who are all essentially small family-run entrepreneurial businesses. And we combine together. We're watching the trends in the wine trade. We're seeing which way things are going, what's happening in the on-trade. And where we see a product opportunity, we work together and we commission a product, the design and development and the tooling of the product. And then we share the costs between us. And that way we can give a producer the volume that he needs. And we can satisfy our own markets. So it's quite a unique way of working, but it works well for us.
Okay, that sounds pretty cool. That's pretty cool. When did you move from the back bedroom, so to speak, into here? Or did you come straight here?
We started off in the back bedroom, and I hired four lock-up garages just on the River Way. And we used to store everything there. So it would be a scurry from the morning down from the bedroom down to the warehouse to pack the orders and ship them out and then back up to answer the telephones. And that was fine until 2000 when we had the floods. And I went down and discovered the garages were under 3 feet of water.
Luckily, ice buckets float.
Well, they do, but not much else floats, unfortunately. The problem was I had orders to get out that day. So actually what we did in the end, I had a pal who was working in the city, but he was off for a couple of days, and he said, could he come and give me a hand? So we borrowed a rubber dinghy, inflated it, floated it down the car park, loaded the orders onto the rubber dinghy, brought the rubber dinghy back up to the car, took them back to the house, got Parcel Force to collect them from there. And to this day, I don't think a single customer realizes that what we had to do to get their order out. Key thing is we got the orders out to them, and they got them on time. But I then scraped up all the wet, soggy cardboard. And I can tell you, it was 1,010 kilos of wet, soggy cardboard. I know that because when I took it down to the dump, I had to go on the weighbridge. Oh. So I know exactly, because I had to pay. I had to pay to get rid of all this cardboard. But and after that, we thought it might be quite an idea to have our own warehouse. So we bought this place 5-6 years ago, mm-hmm. Fitted it out. And as you can see, it's a modern unit.
It's quite an investment, though, moving to even if it is a lockup, but it is still a reasonable sized business. Had you grown quite a bit, in terms of your turnover? How does your turnover grow?
We had grown, and we are very tight on financial controls, and we had the resources. We generated the resources. We don't pay ourselves big salaries. We reinvested continually every year in the company. And so we had the resources to invest in the warehouse, which is what we did.
What other products do you sell now? Because you've obviously got a good range of waiters' friends, decanters. You have ice buckets.
We have ice buckets. Drop stop, of course. We're the UK distributor for the drop stop, which you curl up and put into the top of the bottle to stop the drips. And
we use them a
drops.
Bit.
You knew those. You know that
they're,
product.
They're a great product, but really expensive for what they are.
They are, yes, yes. The Danes have a very nice patent on that, and they take quite a big royalty. So, but it's a good product, and it's well made. We do all sorts of products. We do wine coolers. We do some glassware. We do bottle stoppers. Sparkling wine has been a growth. We've seen a growth in sparkling wine products. So we do openers, we do stoppers, and we do sealers. We do products like that. And then we've developed some products. One product particularly that we've developed is called the Tasting Game. Mm-hmm. When I started talking to retailers, particularly in the early days, about why they didn't stock wine accessories and what the problems were, they didn't see wine accessories as an important line to stock because it didn't help them to sell wine. So we came up with
that. But they probably got better margins on wine accessories than wine.
Well, they couldn't see that, you see. Yeah. So, and part of the problem was the wine accessory industry was largely supplied by large housewares companies. You would have 2,000 or 3,000 lines, maybe had some wine accessory products, but they were mass-produced in China. They didn't understand the function, the form. For instance, if you look at corkscrews, take corkscrews as an example, we've moved from tin capsules to polylaminate and PVC. Now, you try opening those with an ordinary blade, and your blade will go blunt after a time. So we introduced the idea of a serrated self-sharpening blade to deal with tin and PVC and polylaminate capsules. Also, if you look at what's happening in corks, corks have moved away now from traditional corks, which are waxed. So there's quite a lot of, it's quite low friction. If you want to pull a cork out of a bottle, it was quite easy. Now with the synthetic corks, there's a lot more friction, as you know, because you're doing it all the time, aren't you?
Yeah, yeah.
And so you've got to think that through. You've got to think, what is it? What is the torque, T-O-R-Q-U-E? What is the power that you need to pull a cork out of the bottle? And if you have a fixed lever on your corkscrew, then your torque is always fixed. You can't maximize the torque. So by introducing a rolling cam on the lever, as you move the handle up, so that the angle between the lever and the worm changes, and you maximize the amount of torque, which is why, if you see a sommelier using one of our waiter's friends, he makes it look so easy. So you've got to think these things through. And the supply industry, the housewares industry, weren't into that sort of R&D, which we do.
Are you an engineer or anything like that?
I'm not at all. No, I trained in the advertising industry, actually.
Okay, but you seem to have got the handle of it.
I'm enjoy inventing products. I've got a few patents for products. I enjoy creating new products, especially now at a time of recession. I mean, as soon as we heard the recession was coming along, we accelerated our new product development program. Now, people may think that's crazy, but now is the time to come out with new ideas, especially ideas which will help the on-trade to sell more wine, which is where we come in with something like wine flights.
Yeah, what is I see something in front of me. It's it's metal, mainly metal, and it seems to hold about three glasses and a thing. Yeah. it's like a stand, isn't it, that holds three glasses. What's the idea behind this?
We're in a recession. Our restaurants are battling for covers. They're battling for customers. Anything you can do to make that dining experience a little bit different, a little bit more enjoyable, is going to stand you a better chance of getting a repeat booking. So with wine, especially now that they've actually finally decided to say we can sell servings under 75 ml. With wine, the obvious thing to do is what happens when the guy comes in to buy some wine when he's sitting at dinner and he wants the wine. He usually will either go for something he feels safe about off the wine list, or he knows, he will go for the second cheapest. Most people don't want to experiment. They don't want to try. They don't want to engage with a sommelier. Sommeliers are brilliant because they know their wines. They know their stock. They go to tastings. It's quite frustrating. If you talk to sommeliers, it's very frustrating to get diners to experiment a bit and to be encouraged to try new wines. Wine flights is a brilliant, very simple idea. All we're doing is that You do tastings every day of the year. You're into wine tastings. What we're doing is saying, take the tasting experience to the dining table.
Mm-hmm.
Say to the diner, we've got this wine and food match on at the moment, or you've chosen so-and-so. Here are three wines which might go very well with the food you've chosen. Would you like to taste them? You then take a flight of wines, three tasting glasses, with those wines together with their tasting notes on a carrier, which you're looking at in front of you. The sommelier takes that across the dining room to the table. The guy tastes the wines and he can match the wines. And it's a great way to sell wine and to encourage people to taste more and to trial. You can either sell the flight at a fixed price, so it adds something to the menu straight away. You'd sell a flight for £20-25. What other people do is they say, well, if you'd like to join our wine club, and you get a flight and you get to taste these wines. The other thing that's happening is, of course, that the other diners are sitting there and suddenly the sommelier goes across with this carrier and he's got these three wines for the tasting. What's happening over there? What are those guys doing? It's a great way to sell more wine. A complete kit, the carrier, the tasting glasses, the tasting notes is £38. Now that's, it's not a lot of money. to run a promotion in-house, which will produce more customers for you.
Okay. I suppose the key thing, though, is you're selling wine by the glasses, so you need a venue that can manage those glass sales, really, don't they?
You are selling wine by the glass, so you're opening wines, yes. So you've got the problem, of course, of what do you do once you've opened some wine and it starts to oxidize.
Yeah, exactly. Which you guys have got the rights for Preservac, is that right?
Well, the solution, of course, is our low-cost wine preservation system, Preservac. Yes, which...
Starting to sound like an ad break here.
Which both handheld, it's portable, it's very easy to use, very easy for our staff to use. It's won a lot of accolades, and it allows you to preserve both still wines and sparkling wines. It's a vacuum pump system that's battery rechargeable, doesn't require any gases or any extra bits and pieces. The key thing about it all, though, is that it's very, very easy for bar staff to use. From your most humble sort of spit and sawdust pub to a small restaurant, anybody can use it, and they can almost immediately do two key things. One, they improve the quality of the wines that they're serving. And two, they dramatically reduce their wastage. Mm. And that combination of wine flights with a preservation system is, so our customers tell us, is a winning combination. And it's low cost. It doesn't cost a lot of money to do. But in terms of your sales, reducing your wastage, it's a great investment.
Okay. And what other products have you guys innovated? Have you done anything else?
Yes, we have. One or two I can't talk about at the moment because they're on the secret list. But we've got some great new ideas coming up for things. The other area we've worked on quite successfully is back bar display. Mm-hmm. So looking at very simple ways for displaying bottles and changing them around. So when a customer comes in, you actually see the bottle and the label, and that's quite important. Slow flows, you do tastings. One of the things I noticed when I first looked at wine tastings 20 years ago was it's quite difficult. You've got a crowded table, a lot of people around, all holding their glasses out. It's quite difficult to pour a measured pour. In fact, I'd say it's impossible to pour the same amount each time. And we looked at that, and we came up with a product called Slow Flow, which is our own registration. And it's a simple constriction device. It's two parts, a little stem, you know them.
Yeah, I know.
With a cap, you put it into the bottle. Nobody can see it, but it controls the flow and it allows you to pour a measured flow each time. And financial directors in the wine trade love it because it means the salesmen don't indent for nearly so many cases as they used to.
What I want is something that pours fast.
Which they do.
Well, not as fast. That gives me an exact measure, so I can just go like a shot
measure.
for a whiskey.
Watch this space. Okay. I won't say anymore.
All right, that's what I want. You get one of those.
Watch this space.
You get one and you tell me about it, and I'll buy some.
I think you won't be disappointed.
Okay, excellent. Yeah, I want a fast pour of an exact measure that I can control.
Another little product which we came out with, again, we looked at what was happening in hotel minibars with bottle openers, because inevitably what happens is people go and sit in a hotel and they take the bottle opener with them. They take it home as a souvenir, much as they take the shower cap and the soap and the other bits and pieces. So we came up with the idea of a folding bottle opener. I'm just going to hold one now. Pass one to you.
I've seen these.
Very, very simple. Folding bottle opener that is also two things. It's a bottle opener, so it'll open a crown cork bottle. And it's also a very simple little corkscrew. Mm-hmm. We call it Thirst Aid. That's our own registered name. It's very simple to use. It's the ideal thing if you pop it in your purse or your glove compartment or your pocket of your car. You're at Glyndebourne or you're out picnicking or camping, as we've been discussing earlier. And it's just a great little pocket corkscrew. And it's ideal for minibars. Very, very low cost. And we sell it by the thousand to hotel groups to pop into their minibars. So that was a good little product. Simple, nothing complicated about it. But it does a job.
Yeah.
And it also allows them to put their branding on it so they can advertise their...
No lever, though. It requires a bit of strength.
Yes, it's not as good as a proper waiter's friend, but...
Yeah, you can get the bottle out. It's better than trying to smash the bottle to get to the
it's
wine.
Much better than doing that.
Excellent. All right, then, Paul. And Tim, just one last question, just see how you're getting on with the recession, so to speak. How's it affected you guys? We're out of it.
We're technically out of it. Trade is down, and I think it is right across the wine trade. But people still need to promote. They still need to market their products. So if you can offer them low-cost ways to do that, then I think the future is bright. And I think things like Wine Flight, wine preservation is so essential, is so necessary. People need to be thinking along those lines. So we're finding sales are quite buoyant for those sort of lines, but are down perhaps in other areas. As the big wine boys at the moment, they're watching their marketing budgets, they're told to watch their costs, and so the spend isn't there, but I'm sure it'll come back.
Excellent. All right then, Paul, thank you very much for your time.
My pleasure.